Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Get your popcorn ready, everybody.
Oh, yeah. We're going to the movies. Welcome back to... It's been a long time since we've done toys on film. In fact, we've only done it one other time, and it wasn't actually film. It was Netflix streaming, because we did one episode on the toys that made us.
No, I thought we talked about the whole run, or the whole first season.
Yes, but we did one episode on the toys
everything.
That made us. Yeah. So, toys and movies, they go hand in hand, whether it's movies that are based on toys, or some of the best toys that have ever existed have been ones that have been based on film and television properties. But toys on film is something that is very apropos right now as we record this in August of 2023, as arguably the biggest toy brand, if not the one of the biggest toy brands of all time, the Barbie brand, is breaking all sorts of records at the box office.
Yeah.
Congratulations to that entire team. That movie is fantastic. If you guys like this whole toys on film thing, we will eventually get to Barbie, because we both saw it and it was
fantastic.
But we were thinking about how to kind of reboot this idea of doing toys on film. Those of you who know us personally, all like four of you that listen to this that know us personally, know that outside of toys, one of the other things that that Dave and I both share a very, very deep and profound love of is film and cinema. And you know, this is very much so at a crossroads for us. So we're thinking, you know, in a way to reboot this, what's a movie that is kind of lives in that, you know, kind of iconic area of nostalgia and kind of cultural importance, and is something that is always kind of a hot topic in toys and has been for, you know, 30, almost 40 years. The Ninja Turtles.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, I like to think of it as what started out as a toy and then became a movie.
Yeah, and in this case, the Ninja Turtles, we've gotten five now. That's right. I always forget about more than that. Five, seven movies, right?
Because we there got was
You get the original, which we're going to just...
Too animated. Yeah.
Well, we got the original, which we're going to discuss today. So 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
First trilogy, let's say.
So, and then you have Secret of the Ooze and Turtles in Time. Then you have TMNT.
Right? Yeah, it was the animated one.
And then the two Michael Bay ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the newest Mutant Mayhem is the
which would be the second animated movie.
Yes. Sorry, you're correct. Wasn't thinking about it like that. I was like, wait a second, there were two animated ones. But anyway, so
those turtles were real, man.
They're real to me. So arguably, we're going back to we're going back to when the turtles debuted on film for the first time on the silver screen. So, Dave, why don't you take us back to 1990? In this case, 2 days after your birthday in 1990.
Yeah, that was one of the fun facts about 1990 when the movie opened. I turned 9 2 days before the movie opened.
Yeah.
Movie opened on March 30th, 1990. The top TV show in the ratings for the year, because I couldn't find the week. So this was for the entirety of 1990. Thank you, Wikipedia, was Cheers.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, which has also had toys, but they had Funko Pops. The top song on the Billboard... the Billboard music charts, the top single pop song, was a song called Black Velvet by Alana Miles, which I do remember.
Great song. That's like Black Velvet.
Yeah, it's all right.
I can hear the melody in my head. Great song.
Yeah. The top album on the Billboard charts, which is peak spring 90s. Time, Love, and Tenderness by Michael Bolton.
I will not be singing any Michael Bolton. You're welcome.
this one was the next fact that we mentioned already was not on Wikipedia.
Yet.
Or Billboard.com. And that was that I turned 9 2 days before the movie opened, as we said. And then this is just a fun fact that I just remember, but I'm sure some website will corroborate it or not. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was the most successful independent film of all time, and it was unseated in 1999 by the then most successful independent film of all time, The Blair Witch Project.
So... before we,
because New Line was not owned by Warner Brothers yet.
That's true. It was still the house that Freddy built.
Yes, it still was the house that Freddy built.
So, you know, just kind of thinking about it real quick, right? Like, so, you know, we'll get to this a little bit later on, but while there were no toys at the time that were directly from this movie or for this movie, the Ninja Turtles, in terms of being a toy line, were well into their, you know, popularity, their arc of popularity.
The cartoon was huge.
Yep. The Playmates toys were everywhere. They were one of the most popular toy lines at the time. The Turtles at this point, you know, going back to their origin with Mirage Comics, that first issue by Eastman and Laird was 1984. So, you know, we're only 6 years into the Turtles' existence. And they went from being kind of a dark, gritty comic with Mirage Comics to being a brighter, more kid-friendly cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon, to being going back to being something gritty that was a little more a blend between the two with the 1990 film.
And then just to celebrate the success of the film, Michelangelo, Donatello, Leonardo, and Raphael went on a music tour at the end of the year and released a I guess, highly successful album at Pizza Hut. And
coming out of their shells.
Yeah. And then proceeded to become Kiss.
Pizza Power still slaps, man. That song's great. Flying Saucer. Yeah. Food Delight. Yeah. It's such a good song. And if you're really curious, like if you... We definitely had it on cassette. But if you really want to experience it, head on over to YouTube and just search Ninja Turtles coming out of their shells. The entire, I think it's like 90 minutes.
Yeah, it was like a VHS that came out. It was from the, I think it was Radio City, wasn't it?
Madison Square Garden. Show.
Or it was MSG?
Yeah, I think it's MSG. Because I just watched it with the girls. We went to go see Mutant Mayhem. And I'm pretty sure it's MSG. I could be wrong. Maybe it was Radio City. But
it was Radio City because I remember wanting to go.
It was definitely...
Yeah, it was Radio City.
It was definitely in New York City, which is apropos, you know, it being the Turtles and everything. But there is a really... it's a time capsule. It's a time capsule of a thing. Just go enjoy it. Go watch it if you're curious. If you've never seen it, just go on YouTube, search for it. You can watch the whole thing on there, or as much as you're willing to subject yourself to. So before we do a quick recap of the movie itself, Dave, you've pulled the log line here from the original VHS release by Family Home Entertainment.
I sure did.
Would you like to? Would you like to do us all a solid and read this super informative log line from the back of the VHS?
Yeah. So the log line from Family Home Entertainment's original VHS, you probably remember it well, the black and green slipcover. Now you can catch America's favorite green teens in their first live-action blockbuster film. After waiting in a puddle of radioactive waste, these radical reptiles are transformed into New York City's greatest crime-fighting quartet. Featuring hot new music by MC Hammer, this film will captivate adults and kids alike with its blend of humor, camaraderie, and martial arts action. Don't miss this blockbuster movie. You'll have one shell of a good time. I don't like that the hit single by Partners in Crime was left out of the log line.
Yeah, that's the big one.
I had that cassette single of that.
It's a great song.
Turtle Power.
Yeah. T-U-R-T-L-E Power. Yeah, that's another song that still slaps.
Yeah.
The MC Hammer song is like, isn't that in the beginning when everyone's eating pizza? No more when it's cutting through the city?
No, the MC Hammer song is when you go to like the Foot Clan clubhouse.
That's right, all the cool kids.
All the cool kids are
Sam Rockwell.
Listening to Hammer.
Sam Rockwell's listening to MC Hammer while asking if you want regulars or menthols.
Yeah, which, you know, I just rewatched it again for this, and I'm like, oh, that's Sam Rockwell.
Oh, yeah. As we kind of go through some things here, we're gonna shout out some of our followers and listeners. Since we don't have a Q&A section this time, we did put a post up on our Instagram account and our Threads account and X at AIC_podcast, where we told people we were gonna be talking about this movie, and we wanted to collect some of their favorite moments. And shouts to our friend of the pod, Mike, at the Figure Report, with the regular or menthol reference there, of course, calling out to Sam Rockwell's little...
I feel like that was Partners in Crime's, like, only song ever.
It might have been. I don't recall that name ever coming up. And it's Crime with a K, too, I believe.
And a Y.
It's right. It's K-R-Y. Yeah, because they're criming and rhyming.
Yeah, because if you want to look it up, you've got to make sure. Otherwise, you'll get the Kiss song Partners in Crime. So you want second Kiss reference in this episode. That has nothing to do with the movie. So you'll get... You need to spell it correctly.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to miss it. So some of the cast here, we'll go through this real fast. So, of course...
Actually, what I think you should do...
Uh-huh.
Because you know the NECA figures for the movie.
Yeah.
Did they get a figure?
Oh, yeah, we could do this. Okay.
Short answer is yes for all but three people on this list, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm looking. Well, we'll get this. All right, so
yeah.
So of course, we're starring Judith Hogue as April O'Neil, and
she was only in this one.
Yep, she was only in this one. And so fun fact about Judith Hogue as April O'Neil, she actually has three figures. So she's got two that have already been released. So she has her regular, the kind of dress and skirt that she's in, kind of like her hero outfit, if you will, that she wears as a reporter. Then she has like the summer house outfit, when she's sketching the turtles. And then there's actually a third figure that's coming out that NECA is producing. So one of the things that kind of often comes up with the design of April's wardrobe in this film is obviously she's not wearing the classic yellow jumpsuit. But she recently on Instagram, along with our friends at NECA, shouts to Blaine, revealed that they did actually screen test a yellow jumpsuit. However, she said it was way too tight, like uncomfortably tight. And she put them on and they were like, go like take a walk, like see if they kind of like stretch out. If like, they get more comfortable, they loosen up on you.
No, that's so not how that works.
So she said she walked out onto the set. Like on, like off the soundstage and like onto like outside onto the set. And Elias Koteas, who plays Casey Jones, was standing outside and basically said to her, like, Judith, you're gonna turn around, you're gonna go back inside, you're gonna take those off. she got back in and like the costume designers and everything were like, yeah, this is not gonna work. This is way too tight, a little too revealing. Think we're just going to stick with modernizing April's look and giving her like regular clothes, like clothes that somebody would have worn in 1990.
And she's got the yellow raincoat.
Yes. So that was the splat.
That was the nod.
That was the nod. However, there has only been one live action actress to wear that yellow jumper, that classic yellow jumper, in official promotional material, and that was the actress that wore it on the side of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade cabinet. So what they're doing is they're doing this kind of like behind the scenes, deleted scenes homage type of a figure. That's Judith Hogue in the yellow jumper that appears on the Ninja Turtles arcade cabinet. So she will have a third NECA figure coming. Heavily hinted that we'll see more of that at New York Comic Con. So Stay tuned. They did show us kind of like a work in progress prototype, but more to come on that. So then we mentioned, of course, Elias Koteas as Casey Jones. He has also has three figures from NECA. So he is has a permanent masked head in a two pack with a Raphael.
Isn't it trench coat Raphael?
Yep, with a trench coat Raphael. Then he has an ultimate, a single packed ultimate that has, the removable mask. And then he also has a summer house, undercover lay low Casey outfit and sweatpants. Michael Turney is Danny. Danny does have a NECA figure. He was part of Loot Crate. So,
I think he was the first figure in it.
Yep. One of the more rare ones. Toshihiro Obata as Master Tatsu. They are trying desperately to find Mr. Obata in order to reach out to him and make a figure of him. So if you know how to get in touch with Toshihiro Obata, please reach out to NECA. Or if you happen to know him personally, because they would love to get a Tatsu figure out there.
Shredder.
Did I skip over Shredder?
You did.
Oh, I did. James Saito as Shredder. Yes, he also has had two figures. Yes, he had a single pack that I think might have been a GameStop exclusive, and then he's in a two pack with Splinter. Corey Feldman as Donatello. Of course.
I think he's also out of the Mask Shredder as well. So I think his throwback.
Yeah, no.
Kusaki is him.
Oh yes, that's right. That's right. There is that two pack too of the Orokusaki and Hamato Yoshi from the flashback. Yeah, with the rat in a cage. Corey Feldman is Donatello. Brian Tochi is Leonardo. Robbie Rist is Michelangelo. Josh Pye. I don't know if that's pies or pie. I'm going to go with pie as Raphael. Of course, the turtles have all gotten their fair share of treatments, both in a four pack.
That's the voice talent.
Yes. They have gotten a four pack. That was, I believe, a Comic-Con exclusive initially that came in what it looked like a giant VHS box standard mm-hmm. of how they've done Secret of the Ooze and Turtles in Time as well as two packs. And then we have Kevin Clash as Splinter. He has gotten also a couple of releases. He's part of the two pack from NECA we mentioned earlier with Shredder. He had a GameStop exclusive single pack, and then he was also in Loot Crate as Ghost, as like the spectral Splinter when he appears to the turtles after he's kidnapped. And then we have Sam Rockwell. We mentioned him a little earlier as well as the head thug.
He is credited as head thug.
Head thug. Menthols or regular menthol.
He also basically tells Chief Stearns what he needs to know at the end of the movie.
It's true. He has not had a figure, though he's definitely high on everyone's lists. Scott Wolf and Skeet Ulrich. This is actually news to me. I did not know this, Dave. Scott Wolf and Skeet Ulrich are uncredited thugs.
Yeah, they are. It's on IMDb. I could not spot them.
Fun.
Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich. All right. Yeah, so pretty much NECA has pretty much covered their bases with this movie in terms of releasing the characters from it. Tatsu is really kind of the white whale at this point of the most wanted. So yeah, hopefully that would be awesome, because you know, we're not talking about Secret of the Ooze, but you know, he also appears in that film, so it would definitely be a slam dunk if they could get him.
Mm-hmm.
This was written by Todd Langan and Bobby Herbeck, directed by Steve Barron. Of course, based on the characters by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. And the puppets and turtle costumes used in this were made by the Jim Henson Creature Shop.
And I believe it was the last thing worked on by the Creature Shop while Jim Henson was still with us.
Yes. So
he passed right before the opening.
At New York Comic Con last year, NECA, and again, shouts to our buddy Blaine, at Blainer Things, designer at NECA. He moderated a panel with Todd and Bobby, and they told a lot of different stories about, you know, how this movie kind of came together, and you know, how they initially were with one studio. I'm blanking on the studio that they originally had signed up with, but the studio bailed on them. But when they were working with the Jim Henson Creature Shop, they actually had, forgive me, I forget whether it was Bobby or Todd, but one of them was actually writing the film at the Jim Henson Creature Shop while Henson and the artists were making the costumes, and was almost acting as like an advisor. And one of the cool things that they mentioned was Jim Henson was really interested in knowing the writing beats of the script, because he wanted the suits to be able to do what they needed them to do in the movie. So like the fact that they, you know, the stunt actors that were in the suits were able to do like backflips and you know, all that stuff. They needed basically two versions of the suits. They needed a suit that could work as a stunt suit, and then, you know, obviously the suit with all the armature and stuff in the head and, you know, all the puppetry and everything. So really cool to see how kind of like one thing influenced the development of another, with the kind of development of the film. So, the film itself, Dave, I feel like we should take people, I mean, spoiler alert for a movie that's what, 36 years old?
32.
Yeah. Let's take people through the movie.
I'm glad it was came out that close to my birthday so I could do this math.
We did it. The movie. I would say my kind of earliest memories of the movie, most fondest memories of the movie, because obviously I was only two when this came out, so I definitely, my experience, I remember when Secret of the Ooze came out. Like, I can remember seeing stuff on TV for it. Probably might have even taken me to the Williams Center, the movie theater, to see it.
I'm pretty sure I took you to see three for sure.
That I can vividly remember, and all of the people throwing popcorn at the screen. With this movie, you know, I remember watching it on VHS, and I just remember thinking the intro was so cool, you know, where like you don't see the turtles, like the reveal.
And then the logo comes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, very smartly done. Let's kind of real quick go through the beats of the movie here. So,
very smartly done, unless you saw the trailer.
Yeah. Right. Or the commercials for it, or the spots for it on like the animated the VHS
everywhere.
It was everywhere. So the turtles, right? We get the typical backstory of the turtles here. You know, their Splinter was a rat in Hamato Yoshi's dojo, watching his master perform. Perform ninjutsu, and you know, he had a long-standing rivalry with who we learn is Shredder, you know, later on in the film. Why am I blanking on his name?
Orokosaki.
Yes. Him and the turtles come across the TGRI ooze and mutate into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the anthropomorphic man rat. Splinter. But we get April and Casey. You know, Casey, you're, you know, the former
hockey player.
Yeah, former hockey player, vigilante, roaming around 1990 New York City, which is a lot different than the New York City of today. You know, cleaning up crime throughout Central Park and, you know, his normal beats around the city. Has a iconic run-in with Raphael early in the movie. One of everybody's favorite lines. I have to give credit to somebody who's shouting it out here. Let's see where it was.
I mean, which one? Because there's so many in that.
That whole exchange, though, you got to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket. Now,
Jose Canseco bat.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah, why would it be bad that he had a bat of like the most famous baseball player at the time?
And you know what though? But the cricket line too, with a cricket bat, that's probably the first time that a lot of people in the US saw a cricket bat. Like kids.
Fair.
You know, like so I mean it is a funny line. That whole exchange where Raph ends up getting dumped in a garbage can.
Yeah.
He does not come out on the winning side. Of course.
Also a lot of use of the word damn in a kid's movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That scene when he's
I was
yelling,
like, am I allowed to watch this?
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at their brand new home at 101 Newark Pompton Turnpike Suite 1 in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Rewind and press play on your VHS collection with CGC. CGC is excited to announce our newest collectible vertical, CGC Home Video. As a division dedicated to authenticating and grading your VHS collection, our experts are ready to help you encapsulate your favorite video cassettes. Don't settle for static on the screen. Submit today at cgcgrading.com. That's cgcgrading.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now back to the show.
Well, this was edgier, right? Like, this was not the cartoon turtles. This was going, harkening back to their origins. And I'm gonna refer back to the New York Comic Con panel from last year with the writers of the film. One of the things
I think that, it was only PG though.
Yes, but one of the things that they struggled with, they wanted to make a movie that didn't talk down to children. Like, they wanted the turtles to, like, treat everybody who was kind of coming into the movie with the same kind of scope. And that was something that they talked about in the writing of it, that, like, they pushed as much as they could for language and for the turtles to kind of, like, talk with, you know, kind of a more adult-oriented speech. With the exception of Mikey, who, you know, of course, is the comic relief in the film. But especially with Raph, like, they wanted Raph and Leo to really kind of, like, butt heads. They wanted to see that friction between the two of them. And they wanted kids to, you know, experience that. So that definitely comes across in the film. Of course, your antagonist of the movie is the Shredder and the Foot Clan. Foot Clan running their underground, gray to black market trade of stolen goods. Kind of rounding up the kids from around New York to join their ranks. And April O'Neil is your crack news reporter who's trying to get to the bottom of the recent thefts.
She's trying to get the scoop on these
kids that call themselves the Foot.
Well, she doesn't know their kids.
No, she doesn't know their kids. On these criminals that call themselves the Foot.
Mm-hmm.
So
that are being headed up by Sam Rockwell.
Yes, Sam Rockwell. Yeah,
his head thug.
Head thug. Every good criminal organization needs a head thug. A good head thug. It's typical,
like,
though. Like,
give him a name, Jeff. Like, Sam.
Jeff Vader. It's a good point. But, you know, there's always been characters like that in movies. You know, like Woman in Red Dress. You know, it's just like title.
I guess.
You know, so it's not super uncommon. It is funny though that it turned out that, like, you know, Sam Rockwell is a very well-respected actor who started his career as head thug.
It's like if in Iron Man 3 he was like rich creep, like.
Yes, rich creep. That's good. I like that. So of course, you know, the turtles come, you know, cross paths with April. She freaks out, but you know, that they save her. She realizes that you know, that they're good. Of course, there's a story there, her being a reporter.
She's talking about like a super secret society of thieves.
Yes.
That nobody believes her that this is what it is. So imagine her going on the news saying like, yeah, there's four anthropomorphic turtles that are fighting the bad guys.
Yeah, that's a quick way to get yourself
and
your career canceled.
I mean, ultimately, at this time, like, Danny gets picked up by the police. Like, they catch him.
Yeah.
And Danny's father is April's boss.
Mm-hmm.
And the police don't want April basically saying they're doing a bad job in the press and, you know, kind of being able to like kind of outsmart them and know more than they do. So they're trying to silence April. So they basically, in order for Danny to not go to jail, the chief makes a deal with Danny's father. I forget his name.
News Channel 6.
No, it's Channel 3.
No, News Channel 3. That's right. 6 is the animated story. Animated.
Yeah.
Yeah. News Channel 3. The editor-in-chief of News Channel 3, Danny's dad.
Which does not exist in New York. But it's, they basically make a deal where, like, Danny won't go to jail and April can't talk about this anymore.
Yeah.
So, April, of course, has no idea, goes on the news and talks about it, and as, her apartment and father's antique store burns to the ground during a fight between the Turtles, Casey, and the Foot Clan. She gets fired.
Things are not going well for April O'Neil.
As her entire life burns to the ground, she's also getting fired.
No, wait. So the next part is when Raphael gets the crap kicked out of him by the Foot Clan, but I'm just realizing that we missed a critical component here. So before we go forward, let's talk about one of the events that kind of set all of these occurrences in motion. Let's take a step back for a moment.
Okay, so April's been fired and her house burns down and all that, but this chain of events is set off by Splinter being kidnapped. The reason Splinter gets kidnapped is because Raphael saves April O'Neil from foot soldiers on the literally most empty subway platform I've ever seen in my lifetime. And April gets knocked out and Raphael brings her back to the sewer lair. However, he didn't knock out every foot soldier because somebody follows him back. And he's like, oh, this is where they are. So that's when Splinter gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then they have him, like, basically just in a corner of the warehouse behind some, like,
chained to the
boxes
wall.
and fencing.
Yeah.
There's a fence and there's boxes.
And he's just
that's where Splinter lives.
He's just chained there to the fence.
So then as they're
and that's where
can't go back.
He tells Danny the backstory of the turtles there, like, right?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually.
At some point. Yeah.
But Danny is like a little like he's still trying to be a cool kid first. So
hard air quotes on cool kid.
He's trying to be a cool kid. Danny, I think this is when Danny gets arrested. So Danny gets arrested and the news guy talks to the chief and they go to April's house.
Charles.
Charles.
Yeah, his dad's name is Charles.
So at this point, Danny sees the turtles are in April's house. And or April's apartment. And so then, you know, the Shredder's like got a team meeting about like, hey, we've got to find these turtles. And Danny's like, I know where they are. And that's when they beat up Raphael on the roof and everything burns down and everything. The good guys have to retreat to the farmhouse. And we're back.
And now we're at the farmhouse. And this is where Leo gets his astral projection of Splinter. And hey, guys, Splinter's alive. So
here's what we've got to do. We've got to go save him.
Yep.
He's alive.
So we head back to New York City after everybody is recuperated and on the same page. And then we have a really cool...
And then they go back to the lair to regroup because there's literally nowhere else to go. And Casey Jones is afraid of being inside a high-ceilinged, very open-spaced sewer because he's claustrophobic. So he instead goes to sleep in a truck with the window open.
That's right.
And by the way, I'm making fun of, but like, this is a movie I loved when I was a kid and I still think is very entertaining. But there's some things that are very hilarious.
Yeah, it's a very big, I mean, granted, yeah, you're underneath the city, but it's a very big space. It's roomy. Yeah. It's very roomy.
You're not, it's not tight. It's not at tight quarters at all. So, especially considering like the front of a pickup truck is your other option.
And he's not comfortable in there. He's like, if I remember correctly, he's like squirming and kicking and like trying to get comfortable.
Yeah, he can't sleep.
Yeah.
But then he sees, oh, who does he see?
He sees the foot soldiers.
Yes. And then it's on. Now we're in the third act here.
So what's really cool, this all bubbles up to a fight on the rooftop between the Turtles and Shredder, a la issue one of the Mirage comic. And
yeah, during this point, Danny has a change of heart. Splinter talks to him, tells him the whole story, and cool.
Yeah. And we get that, as I mentioned, we get that fight that is a throwback to the very first issue of the comic. Minus Shredder pulling out a grenade. But he gets kicked off the roof into a garbage truck, and
Casey Jones closes the
pulls the smasher button or the smasher lever on the garbage truck, and that is in 1990. That is the end of Shredder. Everyone goes home happy,
and then the police come and are like, "What's going on here?" And the And Sam Rockwell basically points at Tatsu and says, it's his fault. It's on him.
Yep.
Like,
yep. This guy. It's this guy's fault.
It's this guy. It's not us.
And as far as we know, at this moment, the Shredder has been destroyed. The Foot Clan has been stopped and everyone happy ending for all. So very, very cool movie. Still is a lot of fun. The suits still hold up really, really well. So how did the movie do, Dave?
Yeah, there are some things that are a tad bit insensitive at this time.
Yeah.
You
go back and you watch certain movies. There are things.
There are some things that age poorly, and this is no exception.
Phrasing. So we mentioned...
What?
I said phrasing. For the phrasing of things.
Oh, yeah.
Is problematic sometimes. So we mentioned that at the top, Dave mentioned that this was, at the time, the most successful independent film of all time.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to point out, too. A bunch of studios like got together to make the film, but the two most, I would say, well-known of those, of course, New Line Cinema. The house that Freddie built, eventually bought by Warner Brothers, part of the whole HBO Max family these days. And then Golden Harvest, which is a Hong Kong-based studio that is responsible for early Bruce Lee films, Jackie Chan films, Sammo Hung films. So a lot of
the great, greatest martial arts movies.
Some of the greatest, yeah, martial arts films of all time. Like Police Story is a Golden Harvest film, and it's sequels. So, you know, Rumble in the Bronx. So that, I think this was, I don't know if Golden Harvest and New Line had worked together prior to this, but like, you know, Rumble in the Bronx came out after this.
Yeah.
Like long after this, but after this. And that again was New Line and Golden Harvest. So.
So the budget on this movie was $13.5 million. And on the opening weekend, it made that all back plus some. As it
yeah, it almost did that, like, that, you know you're good when you do double the budget, because then marketing and everything else is out of the question. And this thing, you know, marketing du jour.
Yeah.
It was everywhere, including Domino's being the pizza delivery in the film and Pizza Hut being the official pizza delivery of the film.
It's just true. Yeah, they managed to get their competitors on the both of them on retainer here. What's the pizza guy line? Pizza dude's got
122 and an eighth. It's 122 and an eighth. So whenever I'm thinking pizza delivery to this day, I think of 122 and an eighth.
And then of course
you're standing on it.
Pizza dude's got 30 seconds. yeah, it's so good. So it made just about 25.4 mil on that opening weekend with a domestic gross of 135.3 million and an international gross of 66.7 million dollars. So huge, massive, mega success.
Yeah, like the first four weekends it was out, the movie that so the number one movie in America the weekend before Turtles came out was Pretty Woman. Pretty Woman did not win for another four weekends.
Yep.
And then after 4 weeks of Turtles, Pretty Woman won again. Hunt for Red October was like at the end of its run, but it was still like hanging in there at number two. And it beat that too. So like,
yeah, no slouches. Two other movies that are very beloved. Yeah, this was an absolute smash, an iconic smash. It took a property that was already a mega seller,
it huger.
Yeah, in the mega seller in the comic book aisle, the toy aisle, on TV with the cartoons, and now, you know, it had made the jump to film. And, you know, something else that I think is notable that doesn't really come up when people talk about the Turtles that you know, I always think about is, right, you had in 1989, you had Batman, you had Tim Burton's Batman. That was really kind of the first real successful comic book movie, right? Like, showed that, like, you know, comic books could be films, could be taken seriously as films. And then, you know, just a year later, you have four anthropomorphic turtle people made by Jim Henson Studios absolutely crushing it again at the box office. So you had 2 years in a row of properties that really started out as comic books, you know, taking cinema by storm. Might sound a little bit familiar to those of you listening now in 2023, you know, as, you know, comic book movies continue to be, you know, some of the most successful and you know, most well-liked movies at the box office. Speaking of being well-liked, the tomato meter score.
Yeah, it was not well-liked by critics.
Much like the comic book movies of today.
Well, some of them. I feel like that's been less in that MCU era.
True, true. But 42% for critics, with a whopping difference of 40% as 81% of audience scores find this movie to be fresh. Yeah. So again, I mean, it's just what a place to start when you're talking about, you know, toys and how they translate to film. This is a unique one on the list, right? Where there actually isn't a product at the time in 1990 that that tied into the film. You know, that there was
no, and that's wild to think about. If you like, as a 9-year old, like my animated turtles were my turtles.
Yeah,
for this movie.
Yeah, that was your only option. I mean, you had many options of turtles at that point, like, you know, the different, you know, reskins of them, turtles with,
sure,
shell storage.
Like,
but yeah, they were the cartoon turtles, the Playmates 5-inch cartoon turtles. And a lot of people associate the turtles, the Playmates turtles that came out later for Secret of the Ooze in a slightly different style that were made to look more like the movie turtles. A lot of people associate those with the 1990 movie when really, you know, their brain was doing the translation for them on that one. Those were for the Secret of the Ooze.
And then those film. Are like very different. I feel like the facial characteristics of,
yeah, they had the more like, they were smiley, they were a little more goofy, like they were,
yeah,
in Secret of the Ooze.
I prefer these, the first movie turtles.
Same. I think overall I'm more of a Secret of the Ooze person. Like, I think I enjoy that movie more than the original one, but I do prefer the design of the turtles, the more kind of serious design. Speaking of which,
it's a sillier movie, Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, it's closer to the cartoon.
Than the
comic. But you know, we mentioned them when we were going through the cast list at the top here, but NECA has really across the board, the bulk of their fandom and production is around the Ninja Turtles. So whether it's the Archie comics, the Mirage comics, the Fred Wolf cartoons, the films, NECA is absolutely smashing it out of the park with their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles offering. And they continue to find new ways to kind of keep growing it. But a lot of people hold the 1990 Turtle line in very, very high regard, both in, you know, aesthetic quality and also toyetic quality. They really translated those Jim Henson suits to, you know, to toy form in a truly remarkable way. Those figures look fantastic. They look like little versions of what you saw on the screen. And I know, you know, there's a lot of technology out there that helps with like facial scans to make people look like people. And, you know, whether it's wrestling figures or Marvel or DC or whatever, there's still always that little bit of like uncanny valley that like this looks like a little person. With the Turtles and Splinter and Shredder with his mask on and everything, because they aren't based on a human thing, they're based on something that's already, you know, manufactured, they look fantastic. Like, they don't look creepy. They really nailed it. They really nailed those figures, the textures of the Turtles. Dave mentioned, of course, the musical experience, the Coming Out of Their Shells tour. They even put those turtles out. As the musical Mutagen tour turtles was a con exclusive for 2021 or 2020, which is literally my favorite four Ninja Turtles figures that I have. It's like something that I hold very, very near and dear. The kind of ripples and waves from that first film are still being felt today. In fact, as we are recording this, the newest Ninja Turtles movie, Mutant Mayhem, animated film, is in theaters, doing really well. It's made like over $60 million, I think we were talking about. And for promotional purposes, that when they have the turtles appear in places, the costumes for those turtles are still being made by the Jim Henson studios. So when you see the four turtles pop up at like press events, and you know, I'm assuming maybe at some point down the line theme parks, you know, you'll see those turtles pop up. Yeah, here in New Jersey we have the American Dream Mall, and has Nickelodeon World, and currently the turtles that show up in Nickelodeon World are the 2012 style costumes. But I'm wondering if maybe those new costumes that they made for Mutant Mayhem will show up there at some point. But any last thoughts from you, Dave, on the Ninja Turtles 1990 movie?
No.
Yeah, I think
I think we got it.
Yeah, I think we covered it. So before we send you home, what movie? You know, let's put a question out here to our listeners.
Yeah, you'll see it on those Instagram stories.
What should they do, Dave? When they see
smash
when they see
the
what
like
we're going to talk about
and the subscribes and hit the bell on YouTube and subscribe there, so that way you know when we put out videos like this episode. Yeah.
So we would love to continue this Toys on Film topic somewhere down the line.
Let us know what you think of this.
Yeah. One, did you like
this? Did you enjoy this?
Two, what movie should we do next? Let us know. Is there something we could have done better? I don't know. Just, I hope you enjoyed it, because we enjoyed talking about this movie for an hour. So
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with that, I mean, I love being a turtle. Dave, send us home.
Cowabunga.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.